today on Codepen Radio.
Hey, everybody. Time for episode number 200 of the Codepen Radio podcast, where we talk about kind of behind the scenes stuff on Codepen and kind of what it's like running a software business on today's web. And, you know, we're not going to do like a big retrospective or anything. We're just going to keep chugging along with what we normally do on the podcast, which is just fantastic. That's kind of the way I like it. You know, it's like Codepen itself. You know, we're not flashy. We're just dependable. We're like
I'm just going to throw away the cake I made then. Thanks, Chris.
Oh, it had sparkles on it.
Cake? Oh, it's a metaphorical cake. You're hearing Claire Frank. Hey, Claire.
Hey.
Our lead designer and Marie Mosley. Hey, Marie.
Hey, everybody.
Our lead everything else. So it's the three of us, and we're going to be talking about a specific part of CodePen that isn't very new anymore. I think we're 8-9 months into the thing, and that is CodePen challenges. So quite literally, codepen.io/challenges. And Marie, what was the, like, I guess we should talk about what they are in a way.
Well, challenges are something that we do each month for the full weeks of each month. So every month we do four of them. And we have a theme for each month. And then we have prompts for each week, and we give people ideas for things to make to those prompts. And for example, right now we have an animals challenge. That's the theme for November. And the first prompt was jellyfish. The second prompt is pandas. And we give people ideas of things to make with those prompts in mind. It's kind of modeled after things like Codevember and like 100-day CSS type challenges. But it's, you do it right here in CodePen. You tag it with the specific tag that we give to each challenge, and we share them in the Spark. We share them on social media, and we just, you know, it's just a fun thing for everybody to kind of get together and work on something cool together and share it with each other and develop their skills.
I really like seeing everybody's pens that they make from this. It's really, really awesome to see what ideas they come up with.
There's some community stuff for sure. So, I mean, it works. There's just so many reasons why it was a good idea. It wasn't even really our idea, really. I think we made it because we're kind of like, oh, people love this. So we might as well like keep it going. And we have, you know, because we're the company itself, have some kind of resources to keep it going consistently. Because, you know, it's not a negative, but we've seen these things kind of come and go over time.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you kind of have to do it as just an individual or just a few people together, it's tough to keep it running because there's a lot of stuff involved. You have a lot of people's work that you have to manage and all types of stuff, and you have your own commitments that you have to keep up with. So us being able to kind of bring it into CodePen and be able to continually feed challenges is a great thing, I think.
What I think of it as is a way to avoid the kind of the blank canvas situation in a way. Like we're still largely giving you a blank canvas, although we could probably, there's weeks and months where we could change that in a way. But if you're faced with not only a blank canvas, and by blank canvas, I mean literally like a blank pen in which there's no HTML, CSS, JavaScript, nothing. You're looking at a white nothingness and you don't have an idea. Because I think there's people out there that want to do something. They want to practice. They want to code. They like it. They, you know, they like CodePen. They want to be part of the community, but they're like, well, I guess I'll make something. New pen. You know, I would have that issue, you know, or even if I have a loose idea, it's like, gosh, I need somebody to kick me in the butt and tell me to make something, and then maybe I'll make that, you know. This kind of solves that. If that happens to you, then join this train.
Yeah, it kind of comes from like the idea of writer's prompts and stuff, where someone would get writer's block and you write to a prompt. It's sort of like that.
That's a great analogy. So we do that, and they are pretty loose. Like, we don't, it's all we're doing is just giving you a little bit, you know, like what's this week? Is pandas live?
Pandas is live.
Pandas is live.
And we've already seen some great ones. And that's something that we've seen, is that the simpler the prompt, the better response we get to it. We've had some that were a little bit complicated in the past. And I think that can almost lend itself to a type of coding block, because you're like, oh, there's a lot going on with this idea. I really want to work up to this idea. But when we say something like, pandas, or I mean, the past one that was the very biggest of all time was ghosts. That wow. one is just very, it's a very simple theme and people just reacted to it really well. So we found that the simpler the theme, the bigger reaction.
I love the ones from Halloween in October. It was
great. Yeah, they were so great.
and so it's seen a bit of new life recently because, and I guess this is true for any business out there, you'd think, you know, when you see something like this, that you do something like this at a business and it gets traction, well, then focus on it a little bit, you know? Don't just, you know, like give some energy to it. People are giving you energy. Why don't you give them some energy in a way? And that even manifests itself technologically. You know, and we're like, well, we should just dip our toes in the water with challenges in the early days of challenges. Let's just make a landing page for it. Let's just try it for a month. And, you know, if you've been a, you know, watcher of CodePen for a long, long, long time, you'll know that we used to do something called the Pattern Rodeo, which was similar way back when. We did a, you know, we made it kind of part of the WordPress site. And I did that just so I could do it fast. And then I would give people a design pattern to make things out of. And then we asked people to tag it in a particular way. And we even declared winners for that one. And it was vote by hearting. So there'd be a, at the end of a CodePen rodeo, the winner with the pen with that tag on it that had the most hearts was kind of the winner. And it fizzled out like so many of these things do, not because we didn't like it, but it's just it was a lot of work, you know. And now that it's come back, we have more people, we have more thinking behind it. We know what worked and what didn't, and there's a little bit more momentum and things are going good, and there's no winners and losers anymore. That's not.
Yeah, I like that. It's not competitive. It's more of a challenge to yourself than anything else.
Those are the best challenges.
Are they? Does that resonate with you? Do you
definitely? Exactly. That's how I go.
It's like something like National Novel Writing Month, which I'm putting myself through again this month. I don't know why I do this to myself every year, but you know, it is just a challenge to yourself. You're not competing with other people. You're just showing yourself what you can do, and that's a way that we see people grow their skills tremendously. We see people get involved in these challenges. We've seen it with CodeVember. We've seen it with these, you know, illustration challenges, and also with our own challenges. People jump in, get started, start making stuff, and then they're like, oh, now I'm going to try this, and now I'm going to try this, and they start to grow and they develop their skills, and that's the most gratifying thing to see.
Oh, yeah. Even if they level up a little bit, it's amazing to me, yeah. Let alone people where you see when you're like really good now.
Yes, yeah. I love Dang. That. It's so yeah. fun.
What I meant technologically is that, again, in the early days, we're just like, let's just make a landing page. Let's just make it flat. We'll just, you know, that way we're not like deeply invested in this thing. I didn't have to rope in the entire team to build this kind of thing. You know, sometimes we have some success with that at CodePen when not necessarily one person. It's not like there's no review or no talking about it, but it doesn't need to be like a big, long sprint for everybody, that somebody who's just well-suited to work and just kick it out. But then, you know, now that we're 8-9 months into this and we're getting this traction and we've decided let's put some energy back into this thing, now it's time to kind of reevaluate how we do things. And I guess that's kind of like enter Claire in a way, you know, like use, now that we have you, like use some of your design talent to kind of fix up this situation.
Yeah, and I think it was pretty ideal how we went about it too, because we already had some sort of data around this and how people were using it, how we were using it, the sort of things that we wanted to do. So we weren't just starting from scratch and making all these assumptions. We really had specific goals about how we wanted to improve the new design.
And you did your thing, which was, you know, rethinking it from a lot of perspectives. You know, what do we have? What do we want? You know, how are we going to structure it? And then just did that, but did it again just through HTML, Rails templates, you know, like we did some semi-smart stuff, like let's make this Rails template kind of like take local variables so that it can still be properly templated. It's not like we did absolutely everything in raw HTML, but it didn't hit the database, for example. It was pretty raw, but because that was kind of like step one of two of the redesign of challenges was you getting in there and doing your thing, right?
Yeah, that was the beginning of October, end of September. So when we released the Halloween challenges, that was still in the Rails templates.
Yeah, right. And this is maybe interesting for other people that ship features at a company, especially when it's like this and it's not, it's a little bit data driven, but not super duper data driven. This redesign of challenges went out before. What I'm getting at is there's a part two of this in which that we actually like make it truly data driven and actually do store the data in the database and all this stuff. But we didn't do it together. One, this was able to go out before we even bothered with that, and it, which means it was faster. You know, it didn't have to sit around for months to go out. And two, it was in all the data part then was informed by the design. So we weren't like making data choices and then designing around that. We're making design choices and then designing the data around that design. And that's been a persistent theme at CodePen and other companies that I work with. It's basically design-driven development, which is just great. It's the way things should go.
Yeah. And just a little bit about how we went about designing this. So we use Figma here at CodePen to easily collaborate between people. And I think that's great because I think we've talked about this on previous podcasts before too, about how we can be in the same Figma document at once, editing something and talking about it and making changes to it, which makes it really fast. So I went about making some really, really fast wireframes. I actually just did the first homepage and then like a little bit of everything else and decided, okay, I have a good idea of what this should look like. Let me start putting some visual UI elements on top of this and did like another Figma document that was most of the UI. We were still missing the illustration. The illustration was actually the last part, which came in November for the November challenges. But from that base Figma UI design, I took that and turned it into the Rails templates.
Yeah. So start in Figma, make sure it's nice, make sure our Figma is really coming along, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, it really is. I turned a bunch of stuff into symbols recently. So we're expanding our symbols library. So hopefully it'll be easier for other people, not just me, the designer, other developers to go in and pull things in, see how things might look like and talk about a quick mock-up of something.
I think that's great. You know, there's wireframing tools, but like if you bother to get this nice in Figma land, you basically have a wireframing tool, but it's not abstracted. It's like the real elements from your real site.
Yeah,
you're still
exactly.
Just dragging them around and it's like high fidelity wireframing. But like not the high fidelity that takes a long time. It's just as easy as any other wireframing tool. I love that.
Yeah, it just makes it easier to visualize how it's actually going to look.
Totally. They're great in the stand-ups when you bring stuff to show everybody because it really helps me understand exactly what you're working on. I've seen other types of wireframes before and it's just difficult to visualize it in the real site. But you're bringing stuff to the stand-up that looks like I could just start using it right away. It looks just like CodePen, and we're like really able to visualize exactly how this will appear in the real site. So cool.
Yeah, I think that's the save your brain power for other things so you don't use it all on thinking, what is this going to look like?
I like that. Save your brain power. This episode of CodePen Radio is brought to you by Jetpack. That's jetpack.com. It's a WordPress plugin, you know, for your self-hosted WordPress site that brings tons of power from the WordPress.com universe over to your, you know, your self-hosted site. So they're massive hosting infrastructure and all that. But it's not just about the power. It's just, it brings like this wealth of different features to your site. So, you know, backups is one of them that we've talked about. Social media integration is one we've talked about. I just used a feature of Jetpack just the other day that I had never used before, but I found it to be tremendously useful in the moment. One is that, like, I just had a movie sitting on my desktop. You know, I record little movies all the time for something to, like, just explain a bug. Or at CodePen, we use little short movies to post to Instagram, to post to social media of people's interesting work on CodePen. Anyway, I all the time have little video clips clips I want to use for something. And they vary. Sometimes you shoot a really quick clip and it's tiny. It's like 800 kilobytes or something, which for a video is really small. Or sometimes it's like 15 megabytes or hundreds of megabytes or something. You might know that on a self-hosted WordPress site, there has something to do with your host and your PHP settings and all that stuff. There's like a maximum upload size for images and video. And if you drag something too big on there, you just get like a warning in WordPress. It's like, that's too big. You can't upload that. It's above the setting that we allow. And that's fine. It's just that, like, okay, if it's a big image, find somewhere else to host it or shrink it down. It's just kind of a warning. Maybe you can get around it by making it smaller. But if it's a video, oh, maybe I'll put it on YouTube or whatever. But, like, what should I do? Make it unlisted? And then there's that whole rigmarole for uploading it there. No, Jetpack brings, like, WordPress.com video hosting, which is, like, super fast, has a really nice player. It's totally ad-free. They have their own WordPress video player, and you can just use it if you have Jetpack on your site. And there's, you know, the uploading limit isn't there. So you go into WordPress.com, open the media uploader for your site there, and drag and drop your larger movie file there. And then it's just automatically in the same media picker thing on your self-hosted WordPress site. So you're like, I was working on a Gutenberg site, and I made a new Gutenberg block for a video, uploaded on WordPress.com, but then picked the movie out of the image player there, and it just worked great. It just looked like every other video on the site. It's just that one was hosted on WordPress's servers with Jetpack's thing. It was great. It was just a nice little feature, and I was like, that works. I can use it because I have Jetpack. So thanks, Jetpack. So in the old challenges, we had a landing page for challenges, and it just was like, what month is it? Oh, the active month, it's November. Okay, well, the November's theme is animals, and here's the sponsor for it, and here's like one sentence of why it's animals. If you want to know anything at all about the challenge, you have to click the month, and then you click and you go to November, and it says, oh, okay, here's the actual page about these challenges. There's, you know, information about the whole thing, like why we picked animals and why animals are fun and what's the active week and what's that about and what are my ideas and resources and stuff for that week's challenge. That was really the home base for it. And I guess that was it. It was just those two levels. And then, so part of this redesign was like, let's go one level deeper at least. Let's have the homepage for all of challenges, the homepage for a month, but then a homepage for a week as well. And how the point of having a week page is so that we could, like, for example, put actual pens in there. Like, wouldn't it be nice to be actually, you know, whether the challenge is over or ongoing or what, but to actually see entries into the challenge? That seemed like a pretty obvious improvement.
It also makes it great for social sharing, being able to share directly to the week instead of we used to share the page and then with like the hash at the end of the URL to bring it down to the current one. But now I can share a page that's dedicated to that week, and that's a lot better.
It feels more permanent, too. Like, that's just going to be that week is that URL will just represent that week forever.
Yeah.
Plus, it felt like there was this disconnect before. You were looking at all the challenges pages, but you didn't really see what other people were working on unless you were on Twitter and somehow saw that or went to the tag explicitly and saw that.
Yeah, that's a great addition. What you're talking about there is bringing in the collection and showing the things that people have made from the collection.
Yeah.
And that's super, super awesome. I love being able to make sure that we have, like, right away, I make the collection the day we release the challenge. And then right away, as soon as I'm putting things into that collection, it's showing up on the page to show people, like, people are doing this. Here's what they've made. You know, it's great.
I liked seeing it. I just went to the challenges page and I hadn't seen what people had created for last week's jellyfish challenge, but just going to this month's, I could scroll down and see, oh, there's some cool pens for jellyfish last week. That's awesome.
Yeah, we got some great ones last week.
It means that there's a little bit of like repeated chunks of like components and things. So like from a development perspective, if you go to challenges, there's, we wanted to show you, even if all you do is go to codepen.io/challenges, it should still be like, it's happening. There's a challenge right now. Pandas. It's Panda Week. You know, like it should tell you pretty much wherever you are in challenges, what's happening right now in challenges. But then you should be able to go to the month too, because there should be an archival, month. Like here's what happened in November, and then the week as well. So there's, and all that those all have nice URLs that make sense. But now if we just can't hand HTML all these URLs with all that repeated content and stuff, it's just not practical anymore. So whether we handle that through Rails or whatever, there's got to be a way to do this. But we've been working so much recently on other branches and upcoming stuff on CodePen with React and GraphQL. That's like the new mandate at CodePen. We're doing all our stuff through that. So we're like, this is a great little mini example of something we could build with that stack. You know, we can use our same old database, but now we have all this GraphQL stuff in place. So we'll expose all this data through GraphQL, and then we'll build it in React, and we can make just this little area of CodePen, a little single page app we can click around in. And I was like, this is really not going to be that hard, which is like, that's the kiss of death at CodePen usually. That means, but in this case, it actually turned out that way. Like probably took us a little longer than, our original estimations, but it wasn't that bad. It was a week or two, a month at most of poking around at this to get it kind of completely done.
I think it helped having that set time that it needed to be released to at the beginning of a month.
Yeah,
that's
right.
True. Yeah.
Forced.
We had a very hard deadline there because we always put out a challenge on the first Monday of the month. So it had to be a specific day.
These pandas are so cute.
Aren't they? I set all of the challenges this month, and I was like thinking to myself, like, how great is it that I'm getting all of these panda pens? I just made all these people made panda pens. I'm so happy. I love pandas. So
it's incredible. So we built it with React and GraphQL, and it's fun. We even got to do some routing, or prove that out on CodePen. So you might notice while clicking around in challenges that it feels pretty snappy and quick in a way that, clicking around the rest of CodePen isn't necessarily slow, but it kind of has that old school feel where, the browser refreshes and it goes to that page, where in challenges, it's just like, nice and fast. And we can reuse components React style, and it's technologically, it's been really fun and cool, and it will be easy to iterate on this very easily. And so we had to kind of, there's so much work to do yet, now that this exists, that's wonderful, but we had to put a bunch of GraphQL stuff in place for this. You might even notice if you browse and look at a week, that you can see some pens that are from Marie's collection of pens. And you might be like, why didn't you use the tag? Well, we could have used the tag too, but it's nice that Marie makes these collections, because then she can pick, sometimes somebody might like start a pen and not really finish it or do anything with it. Well, that'll still be in the tag, but the collection is a way to just curate that a little bit. So that, those are two different GraphQL kind of bits of data. But also that you can't, if you're on challenges right now as I speak and look at a pen on a week, it kind of looks like a pen card, but it's missing views and hearts and kind of the stuff that you might see on the rest of the site while you're browsing around and looking at pen cards. And that's just because we, work in progress. Doesn't mean don't ship it. It just means that little part will have to evolve. It wasn't absolutely mandatory that there's fully functional pen card components to ship this little piece of challenges, And it's nice that we don't have to slow ourselves down for that sometimes.
Yeah, I like how we did it that way for challenges.
Yeah, it's a big improvement. One thing I want to get back to is the illustrations, Claire. The mountain range that you did is just so cool. I really love that.
Oh, thanks.
And then I'm interested in the process for creating the illustrations, because I know that there was another idea, another concept before the mountains, right?
Right. So if you went to challenges in October and saw that header area, there was a background image with an image of a maze, a gray maze. And originally I thought, oh, you know what, that's kind of a cool concept to do a maze. It's sort of like thinking your way through a problem. When you actually solve that problem, it's like a cool, yay, I did this thing, woohoo. And so I went off with the maze idea and thought, yeah, I could create a cool maze, and was doing all of these illustrations in Illustrator of various lines in a grid, in a 3D grid, and trying to get it so that it would look like the maze was fading into the background. So like you saw the beginning of the maze and it looked enticing to enter, but you would get back through it. And I did a bunch of things like generating certain mazes on a website and then pulling down that thing and then tracing all the lines and then making it 3D.
Wow. Awesome.
And I went on that idea for like a day and a half. And then I like went to bed that night and woke up in the morning and was like, I really just want to do some mountains and some flags because that's a challenge to me. This whole year I've been on this hiking challenge. And to me, it also symbolizes a challenge that you feel good about that achievement. And I just really love mountains. So I went in this route instead.
Yeah, they're so nice. And one thing that I think where that was like probably the better choice is that I think maybe a maze feels like a little bit more frustrating in a right. mountain range. Like the way that you have it laid out on that page, it's just like so inviting. You just feel like you could just achieve this mountain range, you know? And I just love how that looks. It's very hopeful. It's very positive. So I really, really love how that turned out.
Well, it's layered in metaphor.
Yeah, it's layered. The flags, each flag is a week, and it just goes back and fades into the background. So it's like you reach the first flag, and that's the week one, and then you're a little bit closer. And so you can get to the second flag, and you can just keep going.
Nice.
And one of the interesting things about this illustration, too, is that the trees in the foreground, I actually took a live image trace of an actual picture that I took on a hike and used those cool. trees there.
Nice. I didn't know that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really love that you went with this. And I also love that you decided to just ditch what was actually a pretty good maze design, too, and go for something else. You know, I love that you had the courage to do that, because I know, like, once I've put some work into something, I'm like, oh, maybe I should keep it.
Yeah, I feel like that's the thing about design. Designing for the web today or any sort of UI thing is that you have to be able to just ditch things when they aren't really working out or you come up with a better idea.
Yeah, you came up with a winner here. These are really cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about how it turned out.
The maze was me just typing the word challenge into Shutterstock. Okay, so challenges is out now. It will continue to evolve and get better. You know, the important part is that we, that we keep coming up with and pushing out challenges. One of the other things, like just time wise, it saves time, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
God, there's so many, it's all, hopefully it's kind of a recurring theme on this podcast. You know, we're like, you know, we should like build our own email system. I know it's going to take forever, but then in the end it will, you know, it'll be easier to update our templates and keep them updated. And, you know, like, you know, there's some time savings in the end. You know, we talked about the Spark last week or 2 weeks ago or something, mm-hmm. and how
yeah,
we made a bunch of investments in making it easier to produce that to save minutes in the end and save frustration and stuff. That's the same thing with challenges. Now, I mentioned that we made it in React and GraphQL. Well, GraphQL's needs a database. That's, you know, it's a layer of data in front of it. I didn't mention that's how we did it, is we really did put the data in a database, and then we didn't have to really like build a little UI for it. We just reused some existing like CRUD app API thing in which to put our structured data behind it. And so Tim was super helpful with that and getting that going, and Rach and Alex, you know, making sure we do GraphQL correctly and making sure our data is cool. But what that enables us to do now is, before, when we, you know, had a new week or new month go out, we had to kind of like cut a branch of our app and get it all ready to go and make it a pull request and do all our proofreading in there. And then when it's ready to go, we, you know, do a deployment of that week or month or whatever. It was every week we had to do a deployment mm-hmm. of it, which is fine. I mean, that's not the end of the world, but we're like, yeah, I don't know. That would be a little nicer if things like that were easier. Like if you have to do a full deployment to fix a typo, it's, you know, it's one of those things you're like, gosh, I wish there was a better way to do that. And so that data makes sense to keep in a database, and that's what we did with it. And now have this little CRUD app on top of it and little publishing controls, like, is this month ready to go or not? It can just be like a checkbox true or false value in a database. And if it's true, then it becomes part of the GraphQL data. And when this page loads and hits the database, that month will come down or it won't, you know. And then Stephen helped tremendously with the creation of challenges, and he made all these like date helpers to like, you know, figure out what day is it? What week are we in? What month are we in? Is that the past or the future? And I, you know, just basically wrote our own little date lib.
We had a little confusion there because we don't start on the first of the month. We start on the first Monday. And that's not always day one. That's, you know, like, for example, this is November. The first Monday was the 5th. So he was able to kind of smooth out a little rough edge there where I guess we had a little, you know, a little sneak peek of like two sentences of the November challenge was showing at the very end of October. But, you know, the worst thing that happened there was just some people saw that they would have to make some jellyfish.
Yeah, a couple people got a head start on thinking about their jellyfish.
Yeah, that's not so bad. But now it's all smoothed out, so it's going to be even better for next month.
I have to say, though, I was really happy with how Stephen just jumped in on this and helped us out in making this possible. It was really great.
Yeah, it was just first week. You know,
I know.
A lot of times you expect right people to be like, yeah, I don't know, you'll be useful in a couple months when we get you fully onboarded, you know, but it's never been the case with any employee. We always get such incredible smart people.
Everybody gets to it.
Yeah, they're just pushing out code right on week one, you know. Incredible. So that was really fun and made like good development decisions that it's nice when somebody comes in with fresh eyes and be like, you should abstract that into a component. That's, you know, that type of like thinking that, I don't know, it's just nice to see. Cool. So now, to push a new week, we just go into the admin and type a few things and click a few buttons and we're good to go, which means that we can just, this is just a heck of a lot easier to maintain and will be part
definitely.
Of CodePen for a long time to come.
That's right.
And we were talking about one of the ideas that we had was that the year is coming to a close. So one of the things that we could do is make a yearly page on this so that you could see all the progress from challenges over the past year.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. We scoped that out because the URL already has like, hey, what month is it? It's not codepen.io/challenges/November because that's weird because there's going to be multiple Novembers. Yeah. It's /2018/November so that like, you know, any good URL, anytime there's a slash in it, it should probably like have some kind of directory page that gets you deeper down into it. And so I think we probably were like, yes, we should have this. We have some basic ideas for it, but let's, you know, it's not required that we have a yearly page when the year hasn't even flipped over on us yet. So by the time it does, we'll have a nice slash year page. That's a great idea.
Awesome.
Cool. So that's CodePen challenges. You know, please A, participate in them, but B, if you have ideas for us, you know, for challenges or how this page should look and behave, or ideas for future months challenges or weeks challenges, we'd love to hear all that stuff. We love hearing from you in any capacity, of course. So. Hit us up.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah.